There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Fitzpatrick. End zone. Eric Decker holds it in. The Jets win in overtime.
And the New York Giants, given last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
This is NFL Friday, going long on all news, reaction, and game picks for the Giants, Jets, and across the NFL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome into this week's episode of NFL Friday. My name is Brendan Shorey. I'm joined right now by Colin Banks, Luca Cole, and Ryan Ariema on the sticks for us today. A lot to break down. This is the first post-trade deadline show. The last one was the Halloween edition, the spooky edition of NFL Friday. But this week, a lot to break down. We have the Giants and the Jets still. A lot happening in New York. We have Thursday Night Football, but we have an additional thing to talk about, and that is all the action that happened at the trade deadline. Before we get into all of that, Colin, Luca, how you guys doing today?
I'm doing good. Feeling good. Eagles going into a Monday night game, big game, but I'm excited. Good trade deadline.
Yeah, I'm excited. A lot happening in the NFL recently. These are some crazy trades, and I'm really excited to talk about them.
So I want to go in kind of in chronological order. Well, we'll go recent, the most recent. We'll go with Thursday Night Football, and then we'll kind of break down some of these trades. But the Raiders-Broncos game last night, we are recording this on Friday, November 7th, for those of you guys listening. So Thursday Night Football game last night between the Raiders and the Broncos, a game that a lot of people would kind of call a snooze fest. A 10-7 win for the Broncos, and neither quarterback really looked good last night.
Not at all. I mean, that was just painful to watch for Geno Smith, I'd say. The interceptions, the missed field goals, all the chances they had. I mean, and like you guys probably saw too, Bo Nix, he didn't look great as well. I mean, the defense really showed out there, and the penalties, the missed opportunities, they really hurt this Raiders offense, which actually could have beat this Broncos team, I think.
I mean, yeah, this was a rough game to watch. I watched most of it. I think if anything, my only takeaway is, I mean, Broncos defense looks great. They have looked great the whole year. Nick Benito might be the best pass rusher in the league at this moment. Genty, I think, still looks pretty good. Like, here and there, he'll have plays where he looks like a star. But other than that, I mean, it was a poor game. I mean, it was not fun to watch.
Personally, I think this is kind of, not, I don't want to say a warning, but, like, not a good sign from the Broncos. And I'll say this, I'll give them their credit that they're great in the one-score games this year. But you shouldn't have that many one-score games, especially against a team like the Raiders, who have been struggling all year. And then, they had a pretty decent game last week against the Jaguars. They went for two in overtime, didn't get it, lost to the Jaguars by just a single point. But this is a Raiders team whose defense hasn't been anything special this year. And credit to your defense, because their offense hasn't done anything this year, and you held them to 7 points. But the Broncos' offense needs to take a major step up.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think the Broncos offense have been really, really bipolar this year, especially during the Giants game where they were very poor for the first three quarters, and then the last quarter they stepped it up massively to win that game, and that was really impressive by them. But, I mean, they've been so back and forth. They really need to find their footing here.
I mean, they're just a good close game team. I mean, like, I hate to bring up the Eagles again, but in the Eagles game, it was a fourth quarter comeback when they looked horrible. Like, through three quarters, they looked like nothing. They looked like this against the Raiders. Or they looked like how they did against the Raiders, against the Eagles for three quarters, and then magically got, like, two touchdowns down the stretch of that game. So very inconsistent. Bo Nix is pretty inconsistent. Is that going to translate to the playoffs? I don't know. I think J.K. Dobbins looks good, though. I think him and Courtland Sutton are pretty viable options week in and week out.
I do wonder if this is, like, how worrying this is, considering how stacked your division is with the Chargers having a fantastic year and the Chiefs, who are having a year kind of below average for their standards. But two good teams, can the Broncos afford to do this in games against those good teams? Like, it's typically been three quarters of abysmal football, followed by a fourth quarter where Bo Nix looks like the next coming of Tom Brady, and the team looks like one of those 17, like the 17-0 Patriots. Like, that's what the fourth quarter Broncos look like this year, but the first three quarters looks like the 0-16 Browns. Can they afford to play like this against the good teams?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
They definitely cannot. They're going to lose the divisional lead to the Chargers if they just keep playing like this.
Yeah.
I mean, the Chargers, to me, have looked, I don't know if I'd say better. The Broncos are 8-2.
More consistent.
Definitely more consistent, and I trust Justin Herbert
a lot more.
Infinitely more than Bo Nix.
Yeah. I mean, the good teams like the Eagles are just going to take advantage of that for sure in the first three quarters and put up a lead that they can't come back from. So, yeah, I don't think they can afford to do that. They really do need to find their footing here.
I will say, their defense, we got to talk about that for a minute, just how good they've been all year. And I think that Giants game was kind of, I want to say, an outlier, where they gave up 30-plus points to a Giants team led by a couple of rookies, which was kind of, in my eyes at least, very surprising that Dart and Scadaboo were able to go out and lead their offense to that many points. But the reason the Broncos even ended up scoring a touchdown last night came off of the series that came right after the blocked punt in deep in the Raiders' territory. And that's now like two games in a row where this offense has struggled mightily, the game against the Texans and then this game against the Raiders, but the defense has been what has kept them in this game. They've just been so good this year, at least as of recently.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I would say they're up there with great defenses. They've just been great. Nick Benito, 1.5 sacks yesterday, was really, really good. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Talona
Hufanga?
Hufanga.
Hufanga,
there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the sack and then the interception from Tillman. I mean, yeah, they look great, and they're definitely keeping this Broncos offense in these games. I really don't know what this Broncos team would look like if they didn't have Nick Benito or the great defense that they have right now.
I mean, yeah, Pat Surtain, Riley Moss has looked pretty good this year. But, I mean, what was the stat? They had, what, the most sacks through 9 weeks since?
Yeah, in a long time.
In a long time, in like 30-plus years or
something.
It also
showed they, I want to say one of the graphics they showed last night was sacks in since 2018? No. Maybe since like 2023. And I think the second closest were, there were like four teams tied with like 82. And then the Broncos were sitting up there like 120.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, they look good on like every level. Dre Greenlaw, like I said, Pat Surtain, Hufanga at safety. Like, they're a great defense, and they've shown that. But their offense is definitely worrying. And, like, I just don't know what this team looks like in the playoffs, considering most of their players haven't been to the playoffs. So, like, their defense will probably hold up, but I don't know. Like, they'll need their offense to be ready if they want to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, Chiefs next week.
Yeah, that's gonna be a trap game right there.
Yeah.
They're gonna have to lock in here. Commanders, I think they'll do pretty well against that team without Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, but then they have Packers, even Jaguars, they could lose that, like, playing how they played yesterday, they could lose that game. Chiefs again.
Yeah.
Chargers. They don't have an easy schedule.
I mean, if Bo Nix is able to step up and kind of take control of this offense, it's a bright future in Denver, a team that could arguably be one of the best in the league. It's just waiting for him to take that step. With the defense he has, with the weapons he does have, it's just a waiting game. Second year quarterbacks, you kind of expect a little, somewhat of a sophomore slump.
Yeah. Slump.
But they are kind of in a, I don't want to say fully win now mode, because they're set up for the future in terms of the next 5 years. But this defense, I don't know if you're going to get it at as high of a level as they are right now.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of like the Ravens situation right now, where we're in a win now mode, and the future for these great players is definitely uncertain. We do need Nick Bonito to step up here. I mean, not Nick Bonito, sorry. Bo Nix, like he did last year. I mean, these sophomore slubs have been really proficient throughout the league. Jaden Daniels and...
I don't know if I'd call... I mean, I'm a Commanders hater, I won't lie, but I don't know if I'd call Jaden Daniels a sophomore slump, more as he's just been pretty unlucky. I mean, yeah. I mean, his arm...
I don't know why he was still in that game.
Yeah. Gruesome injury.
But yeah, I'm kind of surprised too. And this brings us to our next topic. A lot of kind of insiders were expecting the Broncos to make a big trade, which never happened for some reason. For one reason or another, they didn't make a trade. A lot of them had maybe Jalen Waddle, another big receiver to add to this kind of receiving core. But that does bring us to our next topic. Like I mentioned, the trade deadline happened earlier this week, and according to, I think it was Schefter tweeted out, that it was the most trades on a trade deadline day since 2018. I want to say very active
that
trade deadline this year.
Yeah, usually it's stars aren't getting moved around like this. I mean, Quinnen Williams, Sauce Gardner. I mean, great moves
Jets
for the
cleaned
Jets,
house.
I thought. I mean, now they are the Jets. They had this amount of picks a few years ago. They hit on most of those picks, but look where they're at right now. I mean, Sauce Gardner was a part of those picks. I think Quinnen Williams may have been a part of those picks. It didn't really help them much. I mean, they need a quarterback, obviously.
Which is something they haven't been good at drafting recently.
Yeah, and even this class, like, I mean, I don't know if we want to get into draft classes really quick, but, like, this upcoming class, I don't know if there's any, like, clear-cut top QB.
2 years from now, it's a pretty good class in terms of quarterbacks.
I mean, yeah, Jets, you're just looking to the future at this point. But good moves for the Jets, I thought.
Yeah, I really like that move of clearing out and getting picks, because something needed to happen. I mean, they were 1-7, and it was not looking very promising at all for the pieces that they had. So I think this is a great move for them. But they are really banking on these picks. Like, if they can't draft a good quarterback at least, I think they're looking at the same results that they did this year and the years past.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it starts from the top down. They need a QB. Like, that's it.
They do. And you look at their draft history of quarterbacks, and I'm not going to go too far back.
Sam Darnold.
Just look at the last two they picked. He was a very late hit. But again, look at the last two they drafted. It was Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold. Not a very good track record with those picks. So that's just kind of been their problem recently, is finding that signal caller. And they did a great job at, like you guys mentioned, shipping out some of their guys, some of their best players, guys that you kind of thought were going to be untouchable as part of like the next rebuild, in Sauce and Quinnen Williams. But big, to say the least, big deadline for the Jets.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, back to the quarterback issue. I mean, we saw how the Ravens were struggling immensely without Lamar. And as soon as he comes back, they put up a lot, given that they played the Dolphins. But, I mean, you need a quarterback, yeah. And I think that they made the best of the situation, given that Sauce has had some pretty underwhelming seasons compared to his rookie season. So I think they did get a lot with those trades, and I'm actually very impressed.
I mean, Sauce specifically, I think they got a lot out of that. I mean, the fact that they get more for Sauce Gardner than Quinnen Williams. I mean, they did get a player for Quinnen Williams, but it was Mazie Smith.
Mazie Smith, he's not.
He
has been very underwhelming.
Nothing much. And Quinnen Williams, though, I thought, if anybody, that was like the jet for life. Like, that guy was going to be there, like, forever. I mean, so that move was actually pretty surprising. I mean, Cowboys
cooked.
Maybe not in win now, but win next year, I guess. I mean, they're not looking too good this year, but Kenny Clark, Quinnen Williams on the inside, that'll be good.
It's going to be nice. Coming from the local Cowboys fan here at the station, Jerry kind of cooked during this trade deadline. I did see there were rumors that Jerry was trying to get Quincy Williams along with Quinnen Williams in that trade, but I guess the Jets either didn't like what we had to offer for both of them or just wanted to hold on to Quincy Williams. But, yeah, the Jets now set up very well for the future. They got a bright young receiver in Adonai Mitchell from the Colts in that Sauce Gardner trade.
Garrett Wilson's still there. All right, but if we're talking,
I'm surprised he didn't get shipped out.
No, I think that's like their guy. Like, they are banking on getting a quarterback and then having the quarterback throw to Garrett Wilson.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Breece Hall didn't get shipped out.
No, you see the tweet?
That was especially
the guy
moments.
Hiding behind the wall.
Yeah.
And their asking price was only a third round pick.
Yeah.
So I'm like, who doesn't give up a third round pick that needs a running back? Like, the Chiefs really wouldn't give a third round pick.
I get it to an extent because he's on an expiring deal. And I from what I heard and what I saw on Twitter, the Chiefs reportedly offered a fourth.
Yeah, I saw that too. I mean,
and they didn't take it.
Why would you offer a fourth when they say they want a third? I mean, they clearly weren't serious about the deal. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I think a third is could be a little steep.
It could be a little steep
for a rental. Because, I mean, you got to think about it this way, too, is Breece is gone in free agency. Like,
no, but who knows if he's – like, a guy like that will probably fall in love with, like, Chiefs culture. Like, that guy wants to win.
Yeah.
So, like, if anything – I mean, depends how much money he would want, though.
Yeah.
I mean, paying running backs isn't usually a common
occurrence. It's not something the Chiefs do. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Pacheco, Kareem Hunt.
If we're speaking about personal teams real quick, just
go ahead.
Let's get into the Eagles. I thought very eventful. Maybe not, you know, some big splash moves. But, well, Jalen Phillips
is a big move.
Decent splash move. Third
risky.
Round pick for him.
A little bit risky.
It's a little bit risky. He's coming off some pretty severe injuries, but he's been great. He's been the Dolphins' top pass rusher this year. He leads the team in pressures. He's decent off the edge in terms of the run game, which, I mean, we need improvement in the run game. I mean, Jordan Davis can only do so much in that regard. The pass rushing, though, I will say for the Eagles, earlier on in the season, it was like a big area of needed improvement. It's been better, like a lot better over the past few weeks. Jalix Hunt has came into his own. Josh Uche, who I think we got from the Chiefs, he's been very decent recently. But cornerback at this point is now the biggest need. They address that need. Jair Alexander, Michael Carter. And I think there's going to be some interesting like personnel development for the Eagles. I think because Howie Roseman said something about Michael Carter. He said he's an elite inside corner. And usually that's Cooper DeJean's spot, that slot corner. But he also said DeJean can play anywhere on the field. So my thought is,
does DeJean play a little bit of safety?
My thought was Michael Carter's going to move inside. DeJean's going to be paired with Quinyon Mitchell. Because, I mean, Adoree Jackson, he hasn't been – No. He hasn't necessarily been bad. He just hasn't been good. But he is the better option compared to anybody else we have to offer. Like, Kayley Ringo, I mean, is just one of the most abysmal cornerbacks in the NFL. I mean, I can't even get into it without getting enraged. I mean, and then at the safety spot, I mean, Reed Blankenship's our guy. And then we got the rookie Makuba from Texas. He has these big, like, highlight plays every other week. But consistency-wise, I don't know. So maybe DeJean at safety makes sense, and then they try Alexander on the outside. But from what I've heard from the Ravens fan over here, Jair Alexander's legs are gone.
So. I'm sure you were happy to give away Jair.
We were pretty happy. I mean, best of luck to the Eagles with Jair Alexander, but he did very underwhelming on the Ravens. I mean, against the Bills, he just played very poorly.
That was bad.
Yeah, that was really bad. And then, I mean, it was great to see him and Lamar reunite after playing in Louisville. They played together. And then coming back and signing with the Ravens with Lamar, and I thought there was going to be something special there. But, I mean, it just didn't unfold how the Ravens and the fans wanted it to. So, I mean, I'm not necessarily happy to see him go. I think he still has a lot of potential, which is why I saw that trade, and I was like, I mean, the Eagles might be up with this.
Yeah,
but
if anybody can repurpose him, maybe it's the Eagles. But at the same time, the Eagles have had a track record, at least in recent years, of acquiring these old guys with like big name value for very cheap and then just not using them. Like 2 years ago, it was Robert Quinn when he came off like a 16 sack season and then he did literally nothing for the Eagles. This year, Za'Darius Smith gets signed, retires like 2 weeks later. I mean, Brandon Graham is coming back, which...
How much help does that give, though? How old is he?
To be fair, last year, he was impressive. Like, he was a good player, legitimately. And, like, I just don't know if I want to see him out there because Nolan Smith is coming back. Jalix Hunt has looked good. We just got Jalen Phillips. I don't know if there's any, like, room for him. He's just going to be very rotational, I guess. But... He did look good last year, but he's probably immensely out of shape. So
he is unk.
I don't expect much out of him.
Major unk.
I just want to get him another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
That's things we all want. Another ring.
Especially the Cowboys fans here.
Oh, my God. I haven't seen one in my life. I get the amount of arguments I get into with my Giants fan like roommates about like how the Giants are – a better franchise to watch right now because they got to watch two rings.
It's did they? How old were they? Like five?
Yeah, one was five and one was, what was the other one? 2012?
It was.
So they were like nine?
What was it? Like, I thought it was 2011. I don't know.
11 was, it was either Rodgers or Breeze. It was Rodgers.
Rodgers, yeah.
11 was Rodgers, Breeze was 09.
I think right now the Cowboys are more interesting to watch, personally. But, well, right now in this moment.
I was 11.
Right now in this moment, I'd say that...
So they were 4 years old and eight. Well, was it the 2011 season?
It may have been 2010 season, 2011 Super Bowl. But, like, because, you know, Super Bowl's in February. Yeah. So, I could check.
Very weird system. How they actually say who won which Super Bowl. Because I don't know the numbers like that. I don't know like
I'm
Roman
not
numerals.
Super well versed in Roman numerals.
No, that's not something
it's not something I pay attention to.
No, not at all.
It's pretty cool in the logo though.
It does. It's a cool look for it's a cool look for the NFL. It's like some people do know that. Like they'll be able to see it and read it and like they know the Super Bowls by which one it was. I don't know the Super Bowls by which number Super Bowl it was. I just know it by, like, the year.
I mean, I could figure it out, but, like, who wants to do that?
It's too much
all right,
work.
Well, Ravens made a big move. Jermont Jones helped that bad defense over there.
Yeah, I mean, that was really cool. Was not expecting much from him. I'm not going to lie. I didn't really know who he was until he came to the Ravens, but that was great. What, he had a fumble recovery or was... Something like
that? I don't know. I saw he had 4.5 sacks in his last four games. Okay. He's been on a hot streak. So, I mean, if anything, it looks like he'll be your supposed top pass rusher for the rest of the year.
Which is really sad. I'm not even going to lie. Our pass rushes have been really, really underwhelming this year. I mean, I was personally really angry with the Dafe Owe trade to the Chargers. And then he gets a sack the first game with the Chargers, and I was like, what are we doing? But I don't even know what we got with that trade. That was really annoying.
What are your thoughts on the Ravens defense right now? Like
right
the
now,
state of the Ravens defense, where are they?
Kind of like the state of the Broncos offense. We don't really know what's going on there. They should be good, but we're playing really, really bad. A lot of people are pointing to Zach Orr, our defensive coordinator, for the issues with the defense. But honestly, I think it's the entire team. There's just something going on that's deeper than the base level what we think. They've shown improvement over the last two games with the Bears and the Dolphins. But I mean, the beginning of the season was just, what were we doing? And it kind of happened last year too, where the first half of the season we just looked really, really bad, and then the second half we stepped it up a lot. But I mean, I don't know. I just think they're just very bipolar, kind of like the Broncos offense.
I'll say this: they look a lot better now than they did week one.
Yeah. For sure.
The past few weeks they have looked much improved.
Mm-hmm. Which is good.
It's a sign of hope.
Yeah, it is a sign of hope. It all depends on if we make the playoffs here. I think that a lot of them are very, I would hope, motivated to make the playoffs now with our schedule getting easier and easier. But yeah, I really hope that it continues to play well. We'll see, though. We'll see.
One of my friends is a big Ravens fan. He has the exact same mentality. It's like, well, we were preseason like, I think it was favorites.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Preseason
AFC
Super
North
Bowl
favorites.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
To then being 2-5 mm-hmm. at some point and having one of the worst defenses in the league. And now the defense has actually woke up and Kyle Hamilton looks like the best safety in the league. And mm-hmm. Lamar's back. And now you guys are favored to win the division, even with a losing record right now.
Yeah. I don't like the preseason rankings. I usually don't look at them because every time the Ravens are ranked high, we just have such an underwhelming season.
I mean, yeah, I feel that. Like, I never try and place, like, a label on the Eagles of, like, what I expect. I mean, obviously,
you guys are better than me.
I hope.
Yeah, what about the Cowboys?
You guys are so much better than me.
I always hope for a Super Bowl, but, like, I'm never going to be like, oh, they're going to win the Super Bowl. Because, like, I'm superstitious, so I don't really like to.
Yeah.
I don't come in at every preseason and say the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl. I just come in with very high hopes and high expectations that they play to their ceiling. And
what were your hopes this year?
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Every
yeah,
year.
They were. I mean, look at our offense. We have one of the best offenses in the league. Our defense has just been terrible. And I figured, you know what? We lost Micah Parsons, right? So our pass rush was going to lean on our young guys. But we got Kenny Clark. We can stop the run, which we did at the beginning of the season. We stopped Saquon averaged like 3.4 yards per carry in week one.
The thing with Saquon, though, he got off to a rough start, but I think he might be waking up. I
he
mean,
did.
He trounced the Giants last
But I say this as a testament to the Cowboys'
ago.
Run defense that they started the season. And we were like, oh, we can actually stop the run. In that first game, our defense didn't look terrible, but since then, it's gotten worse and worse and worse, and then we stopped being able to stop the run, and we can't cover a thing in the secondary. And I don't know whether it's scheming or personnel or play calling or what, but that made me lose hope for my preseason goal of Super Bowl. But, and I'll say this, but the trades that Jerry made, Logan Wilson, Quinnen Williams, and adding to the fact that we have Siobhan Revel Jr. Coming back from injury, a rookie. Josh Butler, who stepped in last year as a corner and played amazing, coming back from injury. DeMarvion Overshown coming back from injury this week. We have a lot, or not this week, we're on bye this week, but next week. We have a lot of reinforcements coming to the defense that gives me hope that we can get to the playoffs this year and maybe cause some chaos, but also for the next 2 years, we're pretty well set up.
I think just to get back to the deadline a little bit, I think another interesting trade was Rashid Shaheed. I think that could end up being a very good trade for the Seahawks.
What the Seahawks were missing.
I mean, so he wasn't playing under stellar QBs in New Orleans, but he was still putting up decent production, and he was like a wide receiver three for like the first 3 years there. He's going to be wide receiver two.
He's one of the best deep threats in the league.
He has great speed. I mean, him next to JSN,
it's gonna be a
that
scary.
Could be dangerous because they have no wide receiver depth. Now they have a little bit. So that's just going to take pressure off of JSN and Sam Darnold. I mean, and the Seahawks look good. Like, they look like the best team in that division right now. So I think that's a really interesting trade. I thought there was some Myles Garrett rumors swirling around. Eagles reportedly offered 3 first-round picks, but were denied, which I think is just mismanagement by the Browns.
That's crazy. 3 firsts?
I think if you ever get offered 3 first-round picks, you have to accept that. I mean, like, what are they looking forward
Micah,
to?
Micah wasn't even 3 firsts.
It was, what, 2 and, well, and two Kenny Clark?
Kenny Clark. Which Kenny Clark,
Kenny Clark is worth
to
a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Maybe a first and, like, a
it'd be, like, a first or a second, something like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's just a bad move by the Browns. I mean, obviously, I want Myles Garrett. And maybe I don't
So there's no bias here?
No, maybe I don't even want to give up 3 first-round picks. Because,
that is a lot to give
up. Look at the Eagles' track record in recent years. I mean, granted, they've just been drafting, like, straight SEC guys. You can't really miss that big on those kind of guys.
Philadelphia, Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah. But, I mean, come on. Like, 3 first-round picks, you don't accept that? I mean, that's just ridiculous to me. I mean, when is the last time that happened? Like, Herschel Walker?
Like, insane trade, by the way.
Yeah.
Jerry Cooked there.
I mean, that set up your whole whole dynasty.
Yeah, it did. That was awesome.
You have to take that trade. Like,
yeah,
Myles Garrett should be an Eagle right now.
I saw something really funny on Instagram the other day. It was this guy on a podcast, no pun intended, but on a podcast, and he said, what if there's a trade where the entire Cleveland Browns team sent everyone from their team to the Chiefs, and they just traded teams, but the Cleveland Browns got the Chiefs first and second for the next 45 years? For the next 45 years. And I thought that was insane. I think just 3 first rounds.
I think the Browns would mess that up.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd win a Super Bowl.
They would find a way to mess it up.
Yeah, and likewise, I think the Chiefs would find a way to do something with that somehow with Andy Reid. Even losing first and second for the next 45 years.
Are the Chiefs
years.
Like, I mean, obviously Patrick Mahomes, but like, are they like great drafters? I feel like most of their guys are,
they're
like,
not,
they
they're
just
not
like
bad.
Find guys like to repurpose. Like Juju Smith-Schuster was like, I mean, he was bad for like a year. And then he was their wide receiver too, and they beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Kadarius Toney, they made him look like an NFL player. And he is maybe one of the worst wide receivers I've ever seen.
He can catch punts, yeah. Not passes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they just make players look good. I mean, Rashid Rice. And obviously, Tyreek Hill was a star.
He's great.
Yeah, Rashid Rice. And
they found Kelsey and
yeah, I mean,
like the fourth
Kelsey,
round?
Though, that was the Obama administration. I mean, that was a while ago.
Yeah, but that was a good draft pick. I think if they lost – the 41st and second for the next 45 years.
Did they draft Trent McDuffie?
Yes.
Okay, that's a great pick.
Yeah, they drafted L'Jarius Sneed.
Yeah, he's on the Titans.
Yeah.
Has he? I mean, I don't watch Titans games. So.
No, I avoid those games.
But
too.
He was great on the Chiefs.
He was, and then they let him go because they had Trent McDuffie on the come up.
I think Trent McDuffie's actually a really good cornerback. I mean, we had to rank cornerbacks, which we don't have to do, but I would put him in the top 5.
I'd say borderline top 5.
Would you put Quinyon Mitchell in your top 5?
No.
No?
No.
Not at all?
No.
On the outside? Like 6? 7?
6, 7. Probably around 10.
Okay. I mean, that's disrespectful, but
no.
Whatever.
He's not that great of a corner.
But he's the only thing holding up this defense in the secondary. I mean, DeJean's good, but he's a slot cornerback. So, you know, there's only so much he can do. He's like a hybrid between a safety corner and linebacker.
When I look at the top 5 corners in the league, those are guys that I'm not throwing the ball near. I wouldn't say that I'm actively avoiding Quinyon Mitchell.
I would say that you are. I would say that you should.
I'll take that as a warning.
Are you throwing the ball towards Deron Bland?
Yeah. I don't think he's a top 5 corner.
No, I don't think he is either. No disrespect, but
no, he's not a top
5 I don't
corner.
Think he's top 10.
I think he's borderline top 10. He just got cooked bad this
last week. Yeah, I'm well aware.
No, I think he's like borderline top 10, but like not one of those guys that I'm actively avoiding in a game. Not like a Patrick Surtain. Like, I'm not throwing his way. I'm not throwing Derek Stanley Jr.'s way.
I was going to say, those are probably the top two guys. But, mm-hmm. like, I mean, listen, Sauce Gardner's great, but I'm putting Quinyon Mitchell on the same tier as Sauce Gardner.
That's a little bit biased, I think.
I might be.
Like, I'd say this. I think Sauce is one of those guys that, for me, is, like, borderline top five because I'm not, like, actively avoiding him, but if I have the option, I'm not throwing his
way. I don't
know.
He looked so good his rookie year.
He did. But and he's very handsy.
I know he made All-Pro again after his rookie year, but since then he's been good, like, at best.
He's
like,
very handsy, and the refs have caught on to that.
Yeah, and he's been getting beat this year, at least, kind of badly. I mean, not kind of badly. I'll rephrase that. He's been okay this year, but he has not been as good as he used to be.
His rookie year was his best year, I think, at least.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, wasn't he All-Pro first team?
Yeah, All-Pro first.
Yeah, as a rookie.
I mean, that's kind of crazy. Insane.
Has anyone ever done that? When was the last time that
happened? Micah Parsons, I think.
Oh, really?
He was All-Pro. I can't remember if he was first or second team his rookie year.
Wait, I gotta jog my memory. Was Quinyon Mitchell second team last year?
Oh, Brock Bowers did it last year.
Okay. Rookie making All-Pro first team.
No, he was not second team.
What? Quinyon wasn't?
No, but he was second in Defensive Rookie of the Year, so okay, I'll take that.
Now I'm looking at Micah. If I can type.
That, I mean, I still can't believe he's on the Packers. I thought I thought if anything, he'd be on the Eagles by now.
We would never trade him to the Eagles.
No, but the Eagles made a better offer.
Yeah, we would just never trade him to
you. Yeah, I mean, I get that, but like.
That would be personal.
I always just like felt that that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like
that one is actually like personal. Like, we're not giving you Micah Parsons.
Maybe you should have. You would have got a better haul.
I'm fine with our worst haul as long
could've
as you
got
don't
like
have
Nolan
him.
Smith.
I don't want to play him twice a year.
Like two first round picks, second round, probably.
Micah Parsons was first team All Pro, his rookie year.
Was T.J. Watt?
He was also second in Defensive Player of the Year, and he obviously won the Defensive Rookie of the Year.
I'm just scrolling Pro Football Reference.
How did you feel about the Micah Parsons trade?
I mean,
obviously sad that he's gone.
Good
but
value,
like,
though.
We got great value. It turned into Micah Parsons in a second for Kenny Clark, Quinn Williams in a first, which is fantastic value, Jerry.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. I was obviously upset that he was gone. I liked Micah, but like in the days following, I was like, I kind of lost that love for Micah that I had. Like, he was, the comments he made, like,
it never seemed like he loved the Cowboys.
Yeah. Never. He was like, it's not about the money. I just want to be somewhere where, and he was like, I love Dallas. And then they were off by like a couple million dollars or whatever. Like, and so it was about the money for him.
I heard it was something about like, they weren't giving him like actual paper contract, like something to physically sign.
I don't know why he does it, but that's what Jerry Jones always does.
I mean, maybe just give him a paper contract the next time.
But to be fair also, like Jerry came out recently and said, like, you look back at some of the greats for the Cowboys. Like you look back at Tony Romo, you look back at DeMarcus Ware, Michael Irvin. Like Jerry Jones came out and said, like, those guys, like, you never saw them even in 2 days in the heat of August laying down on the massage table like Micah did during a preseason game, mind you, during a game. His attitude was terrible. I'm fine with him off the team. We just need pass rushing help now. Obviously, he's a great pass rusher, but the attitude that he had during that just made me, like, get rid of him.
Locker room cancer?
During the negotiations, yes.
Ah, okay.
I didn't like the way he was acting during kind of the negotiations. He was very, very, I don't even know how to say, vocal. I'll say that. He was very vocal.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Jacoby Myers got traded to
the Jaguars.
That's interesting. Very much needed by the Jaguars.
It's interesting how they were also kind of shopping Brian Thomas.
I mean, listen, he's having a bad year, but he's not that bad.
He's not that bad, and he's still a second-year receiver.
I think he deserves some grace just based off how good he was his rookie year. But, I mean, Jacoby Myers, I think that's a great move. Travis Hunter, what is he out for, 3 more weeks?
At least.
And Jacoby Myers was 1,000 yards last year. Yeah. So
he's a solid receiver.
He's going to be, they needed that move. I think I mean, they could I feel like they could maybe get in the playoffs. I think
the Jaguars?
Yes. I think they could make a push.
I actually agree with that. I think they
I think the only thing that would hold him back is Trevor Lawrence.
I kind of like Trevor Lawrence. I mean,
I'm so low on him.
I am I'm currently low on him, but in general, I like the idea of Trevor Lawrence.
I've always been low on him. I thought he was going to be a bust.
Same.
I thought Justin Fields was going to be like the GOAT, but
I did too. I was bought in on Fields.
Yeah.
Obviously that didn't work out.
I mean he's still young. I mean, he could still find. I mean, Daniel Jones was just the most hated man in New York, and now he's going to make the Pro Bowl and potentially lead the Colts to the number one seed in the AFC. Yeah. So, although
we'll see.
Apparently he's back looking like his old self. I mean, what was it, 5 turnovers?
Yeah, I was sad. Feel bad for everyone who started him in fantasy. 5 turnovers.
How many points did he have?
Was it negative? I probably not negative. I bet he had single-digit points.
Oh.
Because he did have a few touchdowns.
Yeah.
I know he had at least one rushing, one throwing.
Okay.
So I'm sure it was positive, but I'm pretty sure it was single digits.
Yeah.
I still think that team is good enough to ride a little bit of a wave and at least get like 11 wins.
They just have to ride Jonathan Taylor.
Because their defense is solid. It'll be better now with Sauce. Their O-line is, what, a top 5 O-line in the entire league. They have the best running back in the league at the moment. Saquon's slowly but surely coming back for that title. And then, I mean, Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, Josh Downs, that's a good team. Like, they'll be fine, I think.
They got a solid group
even
of
if,
guys out there.
I mean, Daniel Jones, he did win a playoff game against the Vikings like 2 years ago. So, I mean, he's not the worst QB in the world, even if he is back to being Daniel Jones. But I think they could still – I don't know if they're going to win the conference. I don't see that happening personally, but I think they could win like 11 games, second seed, third seed.
I can see that. I mean, they're at 7 right now, so 4 more down the stretch of the season buried. I will say their schedule
– Do they have a tough schedule?
Between first half and second half, their second half schedule is a lot harder than the first.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and I mean, the only good teams that they played were the Rams, and they lost the Broncos, and they won by 1 point.
They won that one on a game-winning field goal.
They play the Falcons next week. Am I crazy for thinking that's definitely a trap game?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that'll definitely determine if they're –
I mean, Falcons are very inconsistent, but they have had like some solid games. Like they beat the Bills, they beat the Vikings, right?
Speaking of that game, we'll end this podcast by we'll just go through the schedule, go quick, go through all the games, who wins.
We're doing pick 'em.
We're doing a pick 'em. So, game one, Falcons at Colts, but this game is in Germany. The Colts are 6.5 point favorites. So you guys
9:30 a.m. I'm taking the Colts. I think it is it's a potential trap game, but I think the Colts probably win it by like 10 points. I think that's a solid win for the Colts.
I'm gonna take the Colts just because I think they aren't frauds yet, but we'll see.
They are on fraud watch.
They are on fraud watch. I think I might take the Falcons this one. I think it might be a little bit of a trap game.
As long as Drake London has a good game for my fantasy team.
Oh, he went crazy.
That's awesome. Yeah.
3 tutties.
No, so I traded for him, but it was after. So I traded Derrick Henry for Drake London and like Jalen Warren or something like that. It's like,
oh my God.
This is like a Fugazi league. Like, it's like.
That aged so well.
Yeah. But it was after Derrick Henry had played on Thursday. So I had to watch Drake London put up 40 points. And watch Jalen Warren put up like 17 while Derrick Henry just had a bad week. I mean, but I'm excited for my team though.
Next game, Giants at Bears. Bears are 4.5 point favorites.
I'm taking the Bears in a big blowout. I think Caleb Williams drops 5 touchdowns.
It's a little ambitious. I'll take the Bears as well.
Is the Bears. Are Flott and Adebo, are they both playing?
I actually don't know.
Because if they're not, I'm taking, I think Caleb Williams is just going
to
torch
Caleb Williams to the moon this week.
That's, if I was a betting man.
Bills at Dolphins. Bills are 8.5-point favorites.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Bills.
Goes
Bills.
Without saying.
Pretty easy.
Yeah.
Ravens at Vikings. Ravens are 4.5-point favorites.
I'm taking Vikings.
I'm taking the Ravens.
I'm on the Ravens.
Of course you're taking
I'm
the
taking
Ravens.
I'm taking the Ravens.
I actually, I don't know, J.J. McCarthy, like, I think he's corny, but he does have aura, so that is going to help.
Or aura is what you're going off of here?
Yes. I mean, okay.
Who has more aura?
Let's be honest here.
J.J. McCarthy or
No, you have to think about this. Think about quarterbacks throughout history. Quarterbacks that have aura usually get the job done.
Does Mahomes have aura?
Joe Namath, only Jets Super Bowl ever.
Does Mahomes have aura?
Yes, no? Mahomes has evil aura, and that helps him win games. Hurts has aura. Brady has aura. Drew Brees had aura.
Bro, Hurts just thinks he's a philosopher.
He has aura.
Hurts
that's
kind of corny.
That's
Hurts is corny.
Hurts
is so corny.
Jalen Hurts has, okay, you could say that, but he has undeniable aura.
No, he does.
Yes, he does.
He's a cornball.
Did
bro.
You watch Super Bowl?
Yeah.
The second it ended, that Love Hurts Jordan ad played, that was aura through the roof. I mean, there was nothing like it.
Hurts is a cornball.
Hurts is a big cornball.
I won't stand for that. J.J. McCarthy has weird, corny aura, but it's aura nonetheless, so I'm taking the Vikings.
It'll be a tough game. Definitely. It'll be fun to watch, though. It'll be like the Bills.
It'll be a
I
good
think.
Game.
I mean, who's going to go? Justin Jefferson's going to have like 140 yards. I mean, he's going to cook you boys.
Next
game. Who do the Cleveland the Eagles play? Packers. I'm taking the Packers.
I bet you are.
That's Monday Night Football right there.
I'm excited. Eagles are back. Packers are favorites.
Huh. All right. We're going to go rapid fire here. Browns at Jets.
Browns.
Jets.
I think I'm on the Jets here. Patriots at Bucks.
Oh.
The Bucks are 2.5-point favorites.
Going.
I'm going to take the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Patriots.
I'm on the Bucks. Saints at Panthers.
Rico Dowdle to the moon.
Yeah,
that's all I have to say.
Jaguars at Texans. Jaguars are favored by
I know I just said I like the Jaguars, but I'm actually going to take Houston.
I agree. I'm going to take Houston too.
I think I'm on Houston too. We're all in the underdog here. Mm-hmm. Cardinals at Seahawks.
I'm taking Seahawks in a blowout.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can Jacoby Brissett get it?
I mean, it is a divisional game, so it's probably not going to be a blowout, but I'm taking the Seahawks.
Rams at 49ers.
Ooh.
Rams are 4.5 points.
It's in San Francisco.
Fran.
I'm taking the 49ers.
I'll take Rams.
I'm on the Rams. Lions at Commanders.
Lions.
I'm taking the Lions.
Lions. Steelers at Chargers.
I'm actually going to take the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Chargers, too.
I got
no
the Chargers as well. And then Monday night is Eagles, Green Bay. You're
never going to hear me pick an Eagles game.
I know who you're picking.
I'm saying you're never going to hear me pick an Eagles game. I'm never doing that.
Okay.
Don't do that. That's not something I engage in.
So you could stay out of this one. You got the Packers.
I'm taking the Packers.
I'm taking the Packers as well.
Ooh.
I'm taking the Packers. Let's go Pack.
Pack
go
is back.
Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.
Pack is back.
Hey.
Go Pack, go. The Bengals, the Cowboys, the Titans, and the Chiefs
you don't realize
are all on bye.
Jair Alexander gets mythical powers at Lambeau Field. All right?
Jair Alexander is going to get cooked in his game.
He is going to get cooked.
He's going to get cooked in his first game back.
Hey,
y'all are going to see why we let him go.
They'll just take him off the field. All right? It's not that big a deal. It's not
And put who on?
Adoree
Jackson?
Yeah. Okay.
Doesn't scare me.
You have preconceived notions about Adoree Jackson, but he's...
No, I don't. I watched him play.
Guys just, like, make catches on him. Like, he's not, like... He doesn't have, like, bad coverage. He just gets, like, out-muscled when it comes time to make a play on the ball. Like, he's not getting, like, burnt every play. Like, he's actually somewhat solid in terms of actual coverage. He's just not... He just doesn't have great ball skills.
Well, we're going to end it with that that Adoree Jackson rant, mini rant. We're going to call it there for this week's show of NFL Friday. My name is Brendan Shorey. Ryan Ariema was on the sticks. I was joined by Colin Banks and Luca Cole. Tune in next week for the next episode of NFL Friday. NFL Friday is a production of WFUV Sports.